A recent essay caught our eye. It's called Regrets of Things Past. It's written by a mother of two on the cusp of turning 50. It's a kind of confession, I guess, that while her husband looks to their next phase of life with adventure and opportunity, she feels a sense of regret that as he looks toward retirement, she feels like she's not yet succeeded and that she's somehow unworthy of the next chapter. The writer is with us now, Milena Nigam from Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
You know, before we talk about your essay, I have to note you have a master's degree. You have been a team director in the nonprofit world. You made a decision to become a writer. One of your short stories was nominated for a Pushcart Prize. So allow me and us to say, first of all, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And yet, I'm gonna quote from your essay, and you write, "Without a career, I feel like a failure." What do you mean?
What I mean by that and what I have struggled with is I think I entered college and left college with this idea that developing a career is linear. And I feel like my own path has been lots of fits and starts and a lot of feelings of I don't feel like I'm having the impact I want to have. And so on a good day, I can look back and think, oh, but even at each of those stages, I was successful at what I was doing. But I think that yearning for myself is so strong to be able to say, you know, I'm almost 50. This is what I've accomplished professionally. I don't feel like I can say that. And that's where I struggle.
Yeah. You know, Milena, we ticked off at the start the things you have done. And then you write about things you have done. So when you suggest you haven't done it, what does that mean? What does success look like?
I think maybe that is what I'm hoping to discover now so that I can accept that definition and live in it. I thought a successful career was really one where you kind of keep making progress, your salaries continue to go up, you get more and more responsibility, and very publicly someone can say, oh, look, that person is an X, and she has this kind of expertise. Because my path has not been so straight, I feel like here I am at writing, and I see myself making progress in writing. It was so pleasurable to publish the essay that you're referring to, and it feels so good that it has spoken to people, but that's a single essay. And you know, I feel like, wow, there's so much more I want to do with writing. You know, I have some of those feelings like, am I running out of time to be the kind of writer I want to be?
And we should say that what you're describing is not uncommon for women. There's a Cornell study that finds that men tend to overestimate their abilities and performance while women underestimate them. You may know the book Confidence Gap, where journalist Katty Kay and Claire Shipman write about how women are more likely to take jobs they are overqualified for. And you write in this essay, it is a constant fight against my ego, against the voice that tells me I've wasted the chance to build a real career in writing. And if I can just talk for another second, because as I read that, I thought about, you may know this passage, there's a book on writing called Bird by Bird, which says, you know, isolate one of the voices and imagine the person speaking as a mouse. Pick it up by the tail and drop it in a mason jar, and then isolate another voice, pick it up by the tail, drop it in the jar, drop in any high maintenance parental units, drop in any contractors, lawyers, colleagues, children, anyone who is whining in your head, and then put the lid on. Leave it down and go back to your expletive first draft. The fight against my ego. Yeah. What does that fight look like?
Well, and the quote you've just given makes me think, you know, I had a friend reach out to me after this essay came out, and she said she was reading it and relating to it. And then she got to this point where she thought, wow, I know what Milena's done. If this is how she thinks about herself, what could she possibly be thinking about me? And then she said, but of course, very quickly, I realized Milena would never have these harsh thoughts about me. She would be much kinder, much more generous. And I do think there's something about, you know, how we need to learn to treat ourselves the way we treat our friends and kind of think about our paths the way we generously think about those we care about. But yes, how to put all of those little voices into jars and put them away, quiet them so that you have the space to do whatever it is you're doing.
Do you think women are, you know, kind of speaking of the people who responded to your essay, are they harder on themselves? I mean, you write that you have a, quote, narrow definition of success.
Yes. I think women can be very hard on themselves. And I don't know exactly why I'm so hard on myself about my career choices, because I don't feel that way about most other aspects of my life. And part of what I really hope I can do moving forward is to let those other aspects of my life really fill the space in me and kind of quiet the criticisms, because they're so worthy. Things like being a good partner, being a good parent, being a friend, supporting your community. These are what I know I value. And yet that very narrow definition of career success that I have somehow takes up so much more space when I think about whether I'm satisfied with the choices I've made in my life. Mm. You know, I graduated from college in 96. That's absolutely a time when it was just expected that I would be able to raise a family and have a full-time career. I mean, these were just, you know, what I assumed I would do. I don't know. I ended up erring on the side of family, which I'm very grateful for. But then I have these regrets that loom large.
Surely you've thought about imposter syndrome, or the feeling that, boy, everyone else around me is more qualified than I am. And there's an interesting Forbes study. It finds that the average man will apply for a job if he has half the qualifications required and he gets promoted with 60% of the qualifications, whereas women only apply if they have 100% of the qualifications. So, I mean, is part of what's going on that, I don't know, too many women are too honest about their limits and too many men are less honest about their limits?
I don't know about the men's side, but I do think women are definitely too focused on their limits or too honest about them. Yes. And that imposter syndrome, I feel like I hear from everybody. My women friends who are, you know, the heads of their departments in medical school have imposter syndrome. And, you know, of course they would not be there if they had not had all the skills needed to get there. It's so common.
Yeah. Well, at the end of your essay, first of all, you say, I don't want to spend the second half of my life held captive by the failure of only a small part of me. And you're kind of acknowledging all the other flourishing parts of you. And maybe if I can ask it this way, when you get feedback from other women who've read your essay, and then they start to wonder, boy, I don't know how successful I am, what do you tell them? Which maybe is a clue to what you tell yourself.
One reason that I love writing personal essays is I always feel like if there's something that I'm excited to write about, where I really find the energy, or something that's maybe scary to write about, I want to write it because I know there's no way I'm the only person feeling those feelings or having had those experiences. What I'm hearing from them is that connection that, you know, I also feel this way. And I'm also seeking a way to be more gentle with myself. I've had several people say it was so brave to write what you wrote. It didn't feel brave to me at all. It felt like this is how I feel. And I'm certain other people feel that way too. I'm not alone.
Well, I'm sure you know, really good writing to some is taking a human emotion, a feeling, and putting the words to it. And that's what you've done. The article is Regrets of Things Past. It appears in the online Next Avenue magazine. Milena Nigam of Pittsburgh, I'm sure a lot of people, men and women, are identifying with what you write, cheering you on, and waiting for what's next. Thanks so much.
Scott, thank you so much. This was such an honor to talk with you.
Well, we asked you, our listeners, about your struggles. Abby is a 37-year-old media veteran. On the outside, a professional success. On the inside, an imposter in her mind. She writes, I stop myself from participating in things that would put me more in the public eye, from expressing my opinions too forcefully or too loudly. I feel triggered and ashamed when the men in my field criticize me publicly. Now, after years of trying to do it all, Abby says she now has this perspective. She writes, "Success is being in a position that allows me to have a life beyond my job."